I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. It is Monday, October 11th, and we have some Monday night football to talk about. Joining me to do so, the one, the only, actually, you are the one, the only person who's willing to do this twice a week with me, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? Yeah, right. One and only. I'm here for you.
Yeah, the one and only person willing to do this twice a week.
I drew the short straw, and it's just this is what it is.
You know, when Sean started doing, because he wouldn't always bleep, I guess, we started, he's like, I'll do the podcast. He's like, but I want to do it during my shift so I can tell them that I'm working. I was like, that's totally fair.
Yeah, and you know what? It just happens that I fall into that today. It's totally fine. You know, hey, it's like a field trip for a school day type of thing. Like you're still kind of doing stuff. You're still kind of in school.
The world's worst field trip. by the way, go to youtube.com/pick6 and subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube and you're not subscribing, I will come to your house and press that subscribe button for you. That was not threatening. That was like not threatening.
It's a very nice thing to do. I'll do it for you. Don't worry about it.
I'm coming to your house and I will press that subscribe button. Like and comment on the video. And if you're not watching on YouTube, if you're listening to audio, you should know that you can go to YouTube. Again, youtube.com/pick6. Hit the subscribe button and you will get an alert when we go live. We do live shows after every single Monday because Debo wants to kill me. Every single Thursday, Sunday and Monday night show, we go live on YouTube to recap those primetime games or the week of football. And of course, we will have more live programming coming soon. You better believe when there's a blockbuster trade, we will be doing an emergency podcast. If you're listening on this podcast and not on YouTube right now, and you're wondering at the end of it, where's my DFS talk? That's going to be YouTube only. The metrics guys dig into it, did a deep dive analysis, and it turns out that people may be cutting off the audio for DFS. So we're gonna make that YouTube only.
And more importantly, YouTube just loves DFS. I mean, we're just giving them
what the people want. You can show you can show DraftKings on the thing.
It is a little bit difficult to listen for us to just go, I think I like this guy, and we're moving the thing around. Like, yeah, no, it's a YouTube product. We'll give the people what they want.
You're not wrong, Sully. Of course, I narrowly missed $1 million again yesterday. I did have an entry in the Millie Maker run up into the top 2,500.
Oh, good for you.
Which is, but it needed, you know what it needed was, Kadarius Toney not to punch someone in the helmet.
Well,
ejected.
You can't rule that out though.
I texted with a source close to Kadarius Toney actually. After the game,
I know.
I said, you. I was like, "What's Kadarius Toney's Venmo?" Because that dude is. and that source replied and said, "Yeah, I think 189 yards is probably enough out of the room." She's fair. I'll take the L. As you know, it's my fault for playing Keenan Allen over Mike Williams. Yep. Anyway, Colts at Ravens. Ravens -7. The over-under is 46 in this game. Oh, man. Anytime we get Carson Wentz in a primetime game, it makes my heart sing. Because if he stumbles and struggles, I'll be in a much better mood on Monday night. What do you think about the spread? Sully.
I'm taking the Ravens. I just think that they're kind of clicking right now over these last few weeks. And to Wentz's credit, he is getting healthier. I believe that this is, you know, I don't know if it was the first week that this has happened since he sprained both those ankles, but he practiced fully all week. He has no injury designation going into this game. So there is something to be said for him finally getting healthy after that weird, you know, double sprained ankle situation for him. But ultimately, I just like the situation that the Ravens find themselves here. And I like the matchup with this defense going up against the Colts offense. Carson Wentz this season hasn't done particularly well against the blitz. And this is a Ravens front seven that loves to send guys after them. And when you have a Colts offensive line that ranks 20th in the league in adjusted sack rate, it just screams Wentz going to be kind of running for his life a little bit. We'll see a lot of pressure. And historically, especially this season, hasn't done particularly well. He's only completed like 54% of his passes when blitzed.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and bash Carson Wentz because that's what people expect me to do, but I'm just not going to do it. I will say that the Indianapolis defense, while fifth against the run by DVOA, is overall 21st this year.
Yeah.
And Matt Eberflus has done a great job since he got to Indy. I mean, oddly enough, he was hired by Josh McDaniels, who then bailed on the job. Frank Reich kept him, and he's been a fantastic, you know, part of that staff. And he's, you know, the way he runs his Tampa zone and all that, you know, I think that he's made chicken salad out of chicken poo for the most part. Now, they added some pieces to DeForest Buckner and all that, but man, I mean, the defense just is not there this year. And I have a pretty firm belief that at home in prime time, we've seen these spots for Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. And they, when they get a wounded animal at home under the lights, they jump all over them. And I think that's what they're going to do here. And I expect some Greg Roman trickeration, you know, deep shots to Hollywood Brown early in the game, you know, being aggressive with this, you know, being having some tricks up their sleeve in terms of the run game. And if you can make the Colts one-dimensional and make them be a pass-only team, you will blow them out of the water. Because they want to run. Frank Reich's a great coach, but he wants to run. He doesn't want to lean on Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz throws more than 30 times in this game, that means the Ravens won by double digits. And I think both of those things will happen. So I will also take the Ravens. I don't really have an opinion on the total at 46. I think I would go under, but I'm a little worried about the Colts chasing late and or giving up big, long runs to the Ravens as they're sort of grinding out the game.
Yeah, I like the under here too, but it's more of a lean than it's more than just, you know, I love it here. If you look at it from a standpoint of just how we could see this game playing out, yes, you're talking about if all of a sudden the Colts are down big, they start chucking around the field, things could kind of get a little fluky on us. But what is the thing that both of these teams do well and want to do? Run the football. That's just going to limit opportunities. If they can both do what they are probably game planning to do in this game, is to utilize Jonathan Taylor, utilize the running game for the Ravens backfield, Lamar Jackson, both teams trying to play solid defense. That script, that theory screams under here. And that's really been, and we're talking about a Ravens offense, I think that's probably what scares us the most sometimes, where it's like, okay, Lamar Jackson, primetime, could pop off at any moment, but they're 6-2 the under in their last eight games, the Ravens. So, I mean, they're not like blowing the doors off these teams. You know, they might have, you know, they might win by a solid margin, but it's not like they're lighting up the scoreboard. So to me, and again, this Colts offense, like you were saying too, I think they're the bottom third of the league in DVOA in terms of their offense. So it's just not something that I'm totally confident in for them to kind of scream over this and go into the 50s.
Yeah, and there's a pretty clear sort of statistical, it's very clear when the Ravens have a lead that, so if you're live betting a game and the Ravens have a lead, Ravens and under. Because what they do, they're melting the clock, they're picking up chunk yardage in the run game, and they are, it's sort of like a boa constrictor, basically. You know, when they have that, it's all over ballgame if Indy gets up. But if the Ravens get up, they are going to melt clock and squeeze you and force you to try and come back in a way that is not comfortable. You know, you can't be a natural offense. You're having to throw a ton and you feel the pressure because you know your defense can't stop this run game. So if the Ravens get a lead, under, and Ravens, more Ravens, more under.
And then when you get in, kind of going back to what I said earlier about Wentz too, like if the Ravens do get out in front, like, you know, I anticipate that they will, that's forcing Carson Wentz into more throwing situations. And like I said earlier, that means the Ravens are going to send way more pressure. And he hasn't shown us so far this season that he can perform well, or at least, you know, to a point where they can get over here when he's blitzed and when he's under pressure so far. So to me, that, you know, a lot of it has the makings of hitting the under here. Again, could you tell me that this thing goes crazy and you know, both teams will start to chuck it around the field? Sure. But if I'm leaning one way or the other, I'm leaning under.
And there are some good prop correlations here too. And yeah, we mentioned the DFS as well. Again, we'll get to that on, you can watch it on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. But I think two props in particular stayed out to me, Sully. If we believe this game goes the way that we think it will, which is Ravens have lead, Ravens run, Colts trying to come back, Carson Wentz in scramble mode. What prop might stand out to you in that sort of particular situation?
Well, if we're going that route,
you know, why don't you tell me after the break?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
No one does breaks like me, really. It's
that's why they pay you the big bucks. That's a big market tease right there.
It's so professional. tell me, you're halfway through your sentence. Hold on. Tell me after the break. At any rate, I think you're going to tell me that Carson Wentz might maybe scrambling around, running around for his life, trying to make something happen. Yep. He could maybe hit the over on a certain prop, right?
Yep. The over on is 9.5 rushing yards. I love that one. You know, for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, like you said, like there are scenarios where the Ravens are going to send pressure. He's going to be flushed out of the pocket, and he might be forced to just make plays with his feet. But also, I mean, like I said earlier in the pod, he's getting healthier. Again, he was a full participant in practice this week. No injury designation. Those ankles seem to be fine. You know, whatever you want to call it.
Those ankles.
Those dang ankles. You know, they're either 100%, 80%, 75%.
Those my ankles.
And so they're getting healthier. And if you look at the beginning of the season, he was rushing for around 20, 30 yards over his first two games. So if we're getting a healthy Carson Wentz back, and that is what the Colts want to utilize, as we've seen earlier in this year with them, then he should clearly go over this one. Not only from a could be flushed out of the pocket standpoint, but every so often, you know, Frank Reich and that offense, they might want to utilize those legs.
I'm not sure this is the right number. Yeah. How is this number not double digits? Carson Wentz loves to run. The only way he doesn't run is if he has, I don't know, two sprained ankles. And so I think when you look at Carson Wentz and what he's done, so these props originate because, I mean, look, there's there's 32 teams. It's a ton of games. There's a billion players on each team. A lot of times props originate because people are trying to figure out, oh, I don't know, how many, let's see, how many, like, what is the average number of rushing yards for Carson Wentz on the season, right? So let's take 23, 37, 0, and 5, and that's 65. We divide by 4. What does that give us? It gives us 16.3. What is this number? This number is wrong. That's what I'm saying. He ran for 23 and 37 rushing yards in his first two games. Then he sprained both of his ankles. Ostensibly, he is healthy enough to play in this game on Monday Night Football. This number should be like 15.
Yeah.
Worst case. This is absolutely a bet on the over. I would wager that when this line closes, it is somewhere closer to 15. You could, if you wanted, take the under on Jonathan Taylor there at 56.5 if you believe that this will get out of hand. Again, these are all kind of correlated props. Though the other one I like that I think is kind of a slam dunk too, passing attempts. We'll scroll up a little ways there, Debo. Well, there we go. Oh, you got it. Attempts, yes. Over 32.5 for Carson Wentz. Also juiced heavily, 125 to the over. It falls right in line with the rushing yards.
Yeah.
We are playing this game as if the Ravens have a lead. The Ravens are running the ball downhill. The Colts are at 1-3, very desperate to try to win this game. And we'll keep letting Carson Wentz throw, even if they're short dink and dunk throws to Nyheim Hines. And that's an interesting one too, from a DFS perspective or from a prop perspective, is if the Ravens have a lead, then Nyheim Hines is going to see way more work than he normally would and may outsnap Jonathan Taylor. If the Colts have a lead, Jonathan Taylor is going to we're not going to see a ton of Nyheim Hines. So keep that on your radar as well. You can do rush attempts. Jonathan Taylor's 12.5. That seems short too. Greg Reich running more than that, I believe. What else do you like in this game, Sully?
So I'll stick with the quarterbacks here. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson over on his passing yards prop. And this one's a little bit interesting to me. It's 225.5, right? I have that written down. I believe it was 228.
You're moving lines again, Sully.
I believe it was 228 last night. So this is starting to go down, which concerns me a little bit, but I still like him to go over here because, like we were talking about, Lamar Jackson primetime, they do like to, show out in these type of situations. And the Colts, they're allowing 8.4 yards per pass this year, and that's the sixth highest in the NFL. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback in Lamar who potentially, as we're recording this, we don't know for certain, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about it once we get into the DFS portion, but we don't know what's happening with Rashad Bateman yet. He practiced this week, but we don't know if he's going to actually be playing. But if all of a sudden you're talking about getting another receiver into this offense for Lamar Jackson, you're really starting to, really feel himself in terms of the passing game here. So I do like this situation where he finds himself in with the over on the of his passing yards.
I mean, honestly, if the over-under for both quarterbacks is below 230 yards, don't bet maybe do with the over in this game.
Right.
this is not screaming over 46. It can still happen, of course. And you look at Lamar, he's been a lot better in the passing game this year than people are giving him credit for, I think, initially. 30, 26, 31, 37 attempts in terms of his first four games. He's throwing the ball more. He does have, just 4 touchdowns, 3 picks. I feel like people are probably nitpicking that. The Ravens are kind of running him less. Only 14 carries the last 2 weeks for Lamar. That is very
low. And I should also add, Lamar has gone over this number every game he's played this season.
Correct. Yes. Not easily.
Not that necessarily means anything, but it's just, it's not like it's, we're asking him to do something he's never done before.
Well, I mean, they blew out the Broncos. I mean, blew him out. That game wasn't really close. And he went 316 in that game. So they completed less than 60% of his passes. But, he easily eclipsed that 226 mark. So that would not be entirely shocking if he went over that number. This is not a prop slate for us, Sully, because we like our overs. This feels like an under prop slate. Lamar Jackson completions is at 18.5. I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah, that's a stay away from me. I was looking at that a little bit, and it just doesn't feel, you know, he can get, like I'm saying, I like his overs, but he on his passing yards, but he can get that with by throwing, you know, not that many passes. Like, what was it last week again? What did he have?
He went 22 or 37 last week.
Oh, okay. So maybe, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, but I mean, you know, he completed less than 60% of his passes and still got there, but he didn't blow it out of the water. 19, 18, 16, 22. So he's not cruising past that number every single week. Go to receptions, Debo, if you don't mind, and go to the Ravens. Mark Andrews reception total is juiced -160 to the under. Marquise Brown's reception total juiced -145 to the under. Sammy Watkins' reception total juiced -125 to the under. The belief here in Vegas, at least based on these Caesars odds, is that the Ravens will have a lead and they will be pounding the ball on the Colts and not throwing it a ton. I would not want to take a ton of overs in this game. I think if one over I would take, though, Latavius Murray rushing yards.
Okay.
50 and a half.
Yep.
This is not a team with a ton of healthy running backs. You know, they didn't play Tyson Williams last game. Latavius Murray looks, maybe the black is just slimming. I'm not sure, but he looks healthy. He looks explosive. And he should get more than enough work in this game to eclipse 50 and a half if the Ravens are dominating on the ground the way that we think they will. Lamar Jackson over 63 and a half is probably safe too.
Yeah. That's a big number, but yeah, it's again, you're talking about a guy that he's a different animal in terms of these rushing props. It's not a 9.5 like it's with Carson Wentz.
If the game is a blowout, it will not get there. So I probably won't take that over because he went seven carries, 28 yards last week. But in the previous 3 weeks, 7 carries, 58 yards, 16 carries, 107 yards, 12 carries, 86 yards. Any other props for you in this game, Sully?
So I'll look quickly. Just the one thing to note about the pass catchers for the Ravens. I do think that it's interesting because obviously a lot of those numbers are trending under, like we were looking at with the receptions and the receiving yards, and they're not jumping off the page. Obviously, that is probably because this game is going to go under. But I do think that there's something to be said, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier. We don't know if Rashad Bateman's going to play. I would expect these numbers to move a little bit if all of a sudden we find out he's not playing. But he practiced this week. It seems like, you know, Harbaugh didn't really tip his hand whether or not he was actually going to be playing in this game or not. So we, you know, it feels more like a game time decision more than anything else. But if all of a sudden
he's doing that little thing where they expect him to play, but he doesn't want to make it clear that he's playing, and they have a role for him. I mean, they would love to get him acclimated and incorporated with his offense.
Absolutely. And so that's kind of why I think, you know, on top of the game flow that's anticipated, but also you're going to be injecting somebody who they really want to get involved. I think that's why these numbers are kind of leaning towards the under with a lot of these. But I still like, in terms of receiving yards, Debo, the Mark Andrews one, you know, I would still go over with him. I think the Colts are struggling a little bit against tight ends. Last week, Mike Gesicki went off against them. He's still, you know, even if Bateman's in this game, I think that probably impacts, you know, Mark Andrews' touchdown potential. I think it probably impacts Sammy Watkins' participation in the offense and the passing game. I still don't know if it impacts Andrews in the sense of being somebody over the middle of the field where they can move the ball, you know, in that area. So to me, I still feel safe going in that route. He's one of the most targeted guys for Lamar Jackson. He's gone over this total a decent amount. So to me, I still like that there. If you're still looking for somebody to have a big day offensively for the Ravens in terms of the passing game to go over, it would be Mark Andrews for me.
So on the Andrews front, I think you're right. If you look at Andrews, he's gone 20, 57, 109, 67. So he's gone over that total in his last three games. More importantly, though, Andrews over his career has not been someone who's been on the field like a ton. I mean, even his breakout 2019 season, he played 41% of the offensive snaps. That is not a lot of snaps. His rookie season, played 35. So he had 35, 41, 58 last year. But do you know where he's at right now? 74. This guy's playing. He's on the field way more. So in that sense, I'm not sure that this prop number is properly adjusted to Mark Andrews' playing time and playing situation And as a result, I like the over on that as well. The Ravens, even if they're blowing the Colts out, first of all, if it's a close game, Andrews will be involved in the passing game. Second of all, even if it's a blowout, they're going to have to convert third downs. And Andrews is a third down machine. He's a red zone machine. He will be targeted. And 51 and a half is not a ton of yards.
And I'll tell you this really quick, Will, you know, just with Mark Andrews. So I write a story breakdown of what we talk about on the podcast a little bit too. And I wrote it last night. And last night, Sunday night, going into Monday, that number for Andrews was at 48 and a half. So it's already starting to move up a little bit here too. So there is some money kind of driving that number up. So there's something to think about.
Agreed. My wife just texted me. Are you okay? I mean, large sense or small?
Like, yeah, I was going to say that is a big question.
You went to work, lady. Let's talk about first touchdown score. I will tell you that for whatever reason, this market, which is my favorite little prop market to dabble in, hit Josh Allen on Sunday Night Football, no big deal. It's shrunk. And this for this particular game, I'm not sure that I would dabble in it aggressively, because if you'll scroll down, Debo, you can see Debo scrolling. The lovely Debo scrolling for us here on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. It is obscenely priced. Oh, I'll stop right there. It is obscenely priced in terms of the Ravens up top. I mean, this is it's kind of a joke, honestly. These numbers it's kind of a joke in terms of these numbers. Jonathan Taylor plus 625. You know, I get it. You know, he's a running back for the Colts, but I mean, you know, almost like 5-1. Latavius Murray 6.5-1. Lamar Jackson 6.5-1. Mark Andrews 7.5-1. I get all those. Hollywood Brown is sub 10-1. Are you kidding me? Sammy Watkins 11-1. You want me to bet on Sammy Watkins as the first touchdown scorer in a random ass Week 5 NFL game at 11-1? You got to be Zach Pascal. I would bet that 2/3 of the people you know in your life, Sully, don't know who Zach Pascal is, and he's 15-1. What are we doing? That is ridiculous. Zach Pascal should be 25-1. Men.
Yeah, it's a tough pricing. Again, you know, if I have to go with a Raven, I probably would still, you know, again, if I'm just plainly saying who do I think might score the first touchdown, not looking at value, I think I would still go with Marquise Brown there, just because we've seen this year he's basically almost a touchdown a game type of guy. Lamar Jackson does look to rip it early again with him. He's shown that game breaking ability. So to me, I do like that in just a general sense. The value isn't great. I don't like it from that standpoint. But if I'm talking about who I think has a good chance to get into the end zone, Brown has showed me this season, and really not even this season. If you go back to the tail end of last season too, this is something that's been building a while for him. He's been getting into the end zone. So again, that's somebody who I would like just from that standpoint.
I like the idea of Marquise Brown scoring that first touchdown. I think it's a perfectly reasonable situation.
It's just the price point.
It's just 8.5-1 is a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually having a pretty good season, but I mean, he has 19 catches on the year.
Yeah.
And that's less than 5 per game, you know, and you're banking on him. You're banking on a deep ball, and he could have more. Look, he's an explosive player. They love taking deep shots to him. It certainly makes sense as going up top. Let's send a message. Let's get this lead. Let's lean on the Colts. 8.5-1. I can't take that. The only first touchdown scores that I would be willing to take in this game are Colts. And that's because, again, the Ravens are 7-point favorites. There's, you know, there's the assumption that someone from the Ravens will score first. I would actually look at Lamar Jackson at 7-1 just because he's, you know, gets the ball. They use him in the red zone in the same way a rushing quarterback in prime time. These things hit a lot. You know, you're talking about a guy that they use in the red zone with you know, running the football. I don't hate that, I suppose. But if I'm betting on these, I would look at Nyheim Hines at 18-1. You know, maybe it's a couple of field goals early, dump off to Hines. Frank Reich loves utilizing him out of the backfield in the red zone, and he is very dangerous on the edges getting to the pylon. Zach, I can't do Zach Pascal 15-1. Mo Alie-Cox 28-1.
Okay,
is kind of intriguing. Former basketball player. Not sure if you knew that.
Caught a touchdown last week, I believe, too.
Yes, he did. I believe he had the first touchdown in the game, actually. against the Dolphins. And then Carson Wentz at 28-1.
That's who I like. That's who I think is someone that, you know, again, makes a lot of sense. We've been talking about his rushing capabilities on this pod already, but like, again, healthy, someone who wants to run the football, utilize his legs a little bit. To me, that, again, and that is a good value for somebody like that. You know, you can totally see him getting into the end zone at some point. Again, we've gone over it, but fully healthy. Clearly, we saw earlier in the season, not even just from his days in Philadelphia, but in his time as an Indianapolis Colt, he's running for 20, 30 yards a game when he's healthy. To me, if they get somewhere in the red zone and all of a sudden things, you know, if you do a little RPO or something along those lines, you fake everybody out thinking you're going Jonathan Taylor, you roll out right or roll out left, there you go. You waltz into the end zone. That's one that I could envision seeing happening.
All right, Carson Wentz. As much as we love making fun of him on the podcast, no one loves putting their body at risk more than Carson Wentz. and to prove that he's willing to play with two bad ankles on the second team after. Anyway, yeah, Carson Wentz, and he jumped to 29-1.
Ooh. There we go. All right. Even better for us.
They were square. Anywho, yeah, I like that as well. All right. So if you're listening on audio, that's it. That's the show.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.